All right, it's good to see everyone this evening. We're thankful that you are here, and I'm very thankful seeing all those bags out there that are loaded up in the foyer. What a great work, a great opportunity for us to reflect Jesus to those in need. And, you know, it warms my heart, and anytime you see something like that going well and coming together so fast. We kind of threw this out there not very long ago, so we really appreciate that. And, you know, no matter what, God's going to be glorified in that. We pray, you know, be prayerful with that. You know, pray that, you know, the bag of food that you sent helps plant a seed in the hearts of those who are receiving it, and some measure of good comes from that. John, it is a Prezi. I got distracted earlier and forgot to go up there and turn it online. It is the Prezi Vessels of Persistent Faith. And while he's getting that up, you can open your Bibles. There we go. We're going to kind of jump back and forth between Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2, but here's a thought I want you to think about before we look at the text here. You know, it's been said that the very high casualty rate in the Civil War was due to new technology with archaic tactics. And, you know, they were still lining up, if you know anything. Most people at least know a little bit about the Civil War and that style of fighting, how they would line up in rows and face one another and basically exchange fire. Which came to be a necessity before that, you know, in the early 19th century and before, like the Revolutionary War, because they're shooting with musket balls, right? And you can't really aim those things. But in the Civil War, they had the rifled bullet, very accurate, right? And so they were using archaic tactics with new technology, and so there's a very high casualty rate. And the thing about it was, in that type of fighting, you know, they were shoulder to shoulder, and you know, it's a high probability if you're in that front row that you're going to get hit. And so if someone went down, you would either close ranks or someone would step up and fill in that gap. And usually, whichever army was the most disciplined, and also the ones that were willing to take that chance of dying because they believed in their cause, right? And so they're more willing to step up and fill in the gap. And so I always thought that was a very interesting thought. Right? If you really believe in the cause, if you really understand the need, then you're going to be willing to step in and fill up the gap and be ready to do whatever needs to be done. And so this evening here, we're going to continue. We're going through some of the some lessons through the book of Acts. Like I encouraged you last week, I want to do so again this evening. I encourage you to put yourself into the narrative, right? As if you're there. Don't treat this as just something that happened in the past and just relegate it to past history, right? See what it is that God wants you to know right now and what it is that you can do to make this apply to your life right now here this very day. And so in Acts chapter 2, our scripture reading, which we just saw there in verses 44 through 47. Be reminded again that, you know, this is after that first sermon Peter did, and there's folks responding. We know back in verse 41, 3,000 gladly received the word. They're baptized, beginning of the Lord's church, and there's this excitement going on, and that's what we read of in those verses there. And we look at this text, right? We're putting ourselves into this. Remember, you know, think about it. You're there, right? You're witnessing all of this firsthand, right? And if you can imagine being one of the apostles there, back in chapter 1 that we looked at last week, right? You saw Jesus ascending into heaven. You've got the angels, right? In other words, you know, why are you looking up? He's going to come back the same manner. You know, work while you're waiting for him to return. And so we have the beginning of the church here. What I want to emphasize before we get into our three main points is, you know, we need to do what they did, right? And we get a divine example of what the church should be about. And what we're going to see here is, you know, they obeyed, of course. They got busy. They stayed busy. And this gave them the gladness of heart. And so they lived out that gladness of heart, resulting in others seeing it and wanting it. Right? Those people on the outside, they're seeing this new movement of Christ followers and their behavior and their excitement and their faith, and it was drawing people to them. In other words, drawing people to Christ. So we want to do what they did. And so in chapter 1, you know, we talked about this idea of witnessing. But now, as we read, we're going to see also there's this idea of leadership. So in our text here, we see Peter talking to these 120 after reciting scripture, and he makes the statement that it is necessary for someone to take the place of Judas and be a part of the 12. So read verses 15 through 17, now back in Acts chapter 1. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples, altogether the number of names was about 120, and said, "Men and brethren, this scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke before by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus, for he was numbered with us and obtained a part in this ministry." And of course, then he goes on talking about that betrayal of the death of Judas. And then drop down to verse 21. "Therefore, of these men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John to that day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection." And they proposed too, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justice, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, "You, O Lord, know the hearts of all. Show which of these two you have chosen to take part in this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place." And they cast their lots, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Now, so I don't know about you, when I read that, to me it seems like a pretty tall order. Right? But here's the point. There's always going to be gaps in the body of Christ. Positions that need to be filled. And if we're thinking, well, there's no gaps here, I think we're wrong. Every congregation has a gap that needs to be filled, right? There's always something to be done. There's always a calling to look where we can be part of the work and fulfill that work, right? To be a vessel of honor, our theme for the year. And, you know, we're called to be persistent in our faith. So I got the title for this lesson here, being vessels of persistence. Faith. And so I want us to be challenged by God and in this study this evening, and really consider how we as members of the Lord's body here at Fairview can fill in these gaps. And so we're going to see divine example in all of this, see what these early Christians did when there was a need, and then we're going to copy them. And, you know, as we should, we're going to follow the pattern of the early church and see how they filled in the gap. So I want you to note here, number one, prayer. Right? We see that they began with prayer. So chapter 1, look at verse 14. And I believe our text here is going to help us see a godly way of what we can do, how to do it. And we see it starts with being continually united in prayer. So in verse 14, chapter 1, "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplications with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brother." So first thing I notice is in this verse right here that the word continued, or your translation might say persistent, right? Prayerful, persistent faith. Now jump ahead to chapter 2. Same word is used. We see it in verse 42, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayers." Then in verse 46, "So continuing daily with one accord," "in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart." And so here we're told that these new Christians continually, persistently devoted themselves to prayer. What's interesting also, if you were to read the book of the remainder of Acts, but also especially in Romans and Colossians, what's interesting is this word is connected with prayer many times. This persistence, this continually, that word, right? And so we see that throughout some of Paul's writing. So, you know, that's the first step, not the last, by the way, right? These people didn't just pray, they were consistently in prayer. And I would guess that most of us believe that there's areas in our own lives that are lacking, you know, and I want us to think, how much time do we personally spend in prayer? What do you do when you first wake up? What's your first thought? Is it to, you know, say a short prayer at least, right, until you kind of get up and gather yourself? You know, Lord, thank you for another day. You know, and then hopefully, you know, there's a time, I think it's, you know, by example, we have sometime in the morning, you know, we need to spend some time in prayer. You know, how's that in your life? You know, you at least praying minimum, praying before you eat any food. Right? I think there needs to be a lot more than that, but that's bare minimum. You know, so what's your prayer life like? You know, to open up our eyes, to see what needs to be done, to seek the wisdom of God, to pray for those who are in need, you know, all of that. And, you know, and as a church, you know, we come together, you know, for different purposes, right? The corporate worship, and we pray, Bible study on Wednesdays, and many times throughout the year, we may have a men's prayer breakfast. I know, like, when the ladies do the Harvest of Blessing, right, there's going to be prayer there. And that's wonderful, that's needed, that's necessary, and it's something that we can never do too little of. Or no, I said to take that back. We can never do too much of. I kind of swapped around in my mind there. Right, we need to be constant in our prayer, you know, and pray for ways to help fill in the gap. There's a lot of things we can do, you know, teach Bible class, you know, fill communion trays, all different things, right? Just look for areas where we can fill the gap and be prayerful in that. But another aspect of this prayer kind of grabbed me, and it was the idea that these brethren here were joined together. It is that word united, your translation might say. And this idea brings together the body in prayer for a reason. Right? They're very purposeful, united in prayer. So whether, you know, large groups, small groups, whenever the brethren get together, right, prayer needs to be a part of that, and many times just for prayer. And I loved how we got together before the elections. The elders called a special time of prayer. We met on a Saturday. And, you know, that's what we're called to do. And it's very special. And it takes a special mindset. And so they were united in purpose. And so to pray to God for a reason, you know, it changes us. All right, so all of this in these examples here, we see number one, prayer. They were united in consistent, constant, persistent prayer to fill the gaps, right? So to fill the gaps, let us begin with prayer. All right, number two, I want you to notice this, scriptural understanding. So next here in this divine example, we see in those days that this group of brethren, they're together, they're spending time in prayer. Peter begins to share scripture about how God knew, long before Judas was even born, that he would betray Jesus and would kill himself, right in verse 16. But since Jesus appointed 12 apostles, it seems now that another needs to take his place and be named among the 12, right? So the number was 11. Peter's understanding of scripture is that another one is needed to take the place of Judas. And as we think about how to fill in the gaps here in our congregation, right, we need, number one, start by being united in prayer, but number two, a study of God's word, right, to see what it is that he's calling us to do, right, not just our desires, And I thought 1 Timothy 4 and verse 16 is a good passage to consider. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine, continuing in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Listen, doctrine matters, right? We need to keep the authority of the scriptures as our basis and not simply our likes and dislikes. A couple other examples here, think about. You know, the Bible talks about hospitality, right? And hospitality literally means a lover of strangers, right? Is that something we're prayerful about and something we go to scriptures to learn on how to do, right? To fill in the gap in hospitality? How about the same could be said about encouragement and giving and love and fellowship or any other area, right? We might have a need for someone to step up and fill in the gap. You know, instead of just, you know, maybe putting a note in a bulletin, how much better would it be if we identified those areas of need and study why it is that there's a need there? And, you know, like the church in Corinth here in 1 Corinthians 13, right? It seems that there was a love gap in their congregation, if you will. But Paul didn't just say, fix it. Right, he goes on and he teaches them, you know, what it means to love and how to love in the most excellent way. Or the Bereans in Acts chapter 17. When the Bereans heard Paul, right, we're told that they received the message with great eagerness. In Acts 17 and verse 11, right, and they searched the scriptures daily to see if what Paul was telling them was true. Right, digging into the Word of God, right? It's a command that we find throughout the pages of Scripture, right? And the reason why is that study, like prayer, guides us. And I need to get out of the way in order to hear what God wants me to know in order to fill that gap. So just some examples there concerning Scripture, and we allow that to guide us to fill the gaps where there's a need. All right, finally here, number three, well, let's think about action focused on God. So back here in chapter 1 of Acts, we see our divine example, and they show, being in verse 23 and following, you know, only after prayer and study did they choose two men and seek God to show them whom he desired to be that 12th apostle. Now, I've noticed in my life, being honest, in my own life, how easy it is for me to jump first, then ask questions later. And I consider these words here, what Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me as prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. You know, normally, you know, when there's action that needs to be taken, I think sometimes we don't begin with prayer. Sometimes we struggle with allowing the Word of God to guide us. You know, and we want to do something, but when we're not allowing that prayer and that study to guide that action, you know, we're getting the cart before the horse, right? We're not getting it in the right order. And, you know, and I'm guilty of that. And you think about what we're looking at in Acts chapter 1, you know, what greater gap could there be than that of an apostle of Jesus, right? And these men believed that Jesus wanted 12, right? They spend time united in constant prayer, they examine the scripture, and it's only after that that they did go through this process of asking God to choose another to fill that gap, right? They got the horse before the cart, and they focused on God first, right? So we need to be a people that are mindful of the gaps that need to be filled, right? And there's a lot of areas where every one of us can do something else, and let us never get to that point where, you know, I've done my fair share, Right? I do so much more than all these other people. Right? I'm not going to do anything else until other people step up. Listen, that's the wrong attitude. We can't have that attitude. That's a destructive attitude, and it shows a lack of awareness of why we're doing what we are doing. Hopefully you're doing what you're doing as you're filling in that gap for the glory of God, right? Not to be seen by others, not for everyone to say, look how busy they are, not to say, wow, you know, what a great person. No, you're doing it for the glory of God. And, you know, we can always do more, right? And it's a great example to the good hearts around us saying, you know what, so-and-so does so much, I need to step up. Right, I need to help them lighten the load. And that's the proper mindset that we are to have. So here's our conclusion. Right, and there's gaps in every congregation. There's gaps in every life. There's things that, they just need action. And again, it needs to start with prayer and study before taking that action. You know, and so I'm kind of hesitant to say this, but I guess I'll say it. You know, I think some people are quick to complain when things aren't done at all, or things, you know, aren't done in a manner that they like. But I would urge the individual that's complaining about that to think about it. If there's something to complain about, that means there's a gap. You know, and, you know, what can you do to fill in that gap? Right? And, you know, it's easy to complain. Right? It's so easy to complain. What's difficult, though, is not to complain and step up and fill the gap in the area that you're complaining about. And so, you know, I would encourage us to have that kind of mindset. You know, in the Old Testament, we read that Isaiah saw the throne of God, and God says, you know, who will go for us? And then Isaiah steps up and says, here I am, Lord, send me, right? He filled the gap. In the New Testament, Mary, right, the angel Gabriel appeared to young Mary and says, you know, you're going to give birth to God in the flesh. And I know if you're like me, we'd love the response that she gave. She says, I am the Lord's servant. Right, and the actual Greek word there is slave. I'm the Lord's slave. Right, Mary filled in the gap. We can look at example after example of folks filling in the gap. She filled in the gap. So, you know, what about you? Where are you at? Will you fill any gaps that we have in this congregation? You know, the work of the church begins with the people united in constant, persistent prayer. A people who search the scriptures, and a people willing to take action that's focused on God, and a people that say, here I am, Lord, send me. If you're here this evening and you're subject to the gospel invitation, listen, God wants your mind, your heart, and your hands. Right? He doesn't call us to a place of inactivity, but to a place of activity. So, if you need to obey the gospel, you know, that's part of counting the cost. Am I willing to get busy with the Father's business? And if you're not, you know, I would say you need to reconsider some things. You know, many times I'll add to that, when folks fall away from the faith or they got weak faith, it's because they're inactive, right? And they go through a period of time of just warming pews. And, you know, and Satan sees that, and he sneaks in, and he can get a hold of you a whole lot easier. So, you know, if there's something you need to rededicate to God, something you want to bring before the church, you know, that's always helpful. But if you have any spiritual need that we can help with, let somebody know as we stand, as we sing.